Yeah, it's really amazing. Chuck is here and Becky's not, and so we're calling that a Christmas miracle in June, and we're so glad that you're here. So it's just terrific. Another thing is, if you've been involved with the memoir class, or even if you haven't up until now, but you would like to, we're going to meet after worship in the conference room. Lots of fun things in store there. And we will continue that class indefinitely, see how it goes, and all are welcome. Other announcements? All right, then. Let's take a deep breath and settle in and worship God. Amen.
Good morning and happy Father's Day. Please stand up and join me in response to the call to worship. O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low,
who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Let us sing and worship God. Please remain standing for our opening hymn. And this will be unfamiliar to you, so we're going to sing the chorus a number of times at the end, but you'll get the hang of it. It's a good one. It's a good one. You're going to capo three? You're welcome. Yo. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Here we go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing in hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the love is growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing in hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love again, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing in hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love may again, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing in hallelujah. Last time, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Amen. You may be seated. So we don't have any children, but who? What? Well, of course we do. Of course we do. You know, I always think of children as like here. So you're sort of like right in the, so because how old are you now? 10. You're double digits. That's a really big deal. So usually I invite kids to come on up, but you know, you can stay there if you're more comfortable too. But why don't you tell everybody your name? Because I don't know that they've met everybody.
Colette.
Colette. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful name? It's so nice to have all three of you together. So, and I'm kind of glad you're double digits, because you can handle this children's message. I was a little worried about the little ones, because I was going to talk about my dad, who's not alive anymore. And I thought, well, how's that going to make a 3- and a 4-year-old feel? You know, will they go home and be scared that their father might die? But you're old enough to get this. So it's Father's Day, and my father's not around. I'm feeling really, really sad about that. So I thought, well, what do I have on Father's Day, you know? Well, there's two things that I have. I have the memories of my dad, and I thought, well, what were my favorite things to do with my dad? Well, one was to rake leaves, and I can't do that. Hey, Dominic, can you turn me up? The other day at the memorial service, I was way up. It was really nice. I got to nuance. Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. So I really liked to rake leaves, but I can't do that, because I'm not on the East Coast. The other thing we really liked to do together was play catch. Well, I can't do that alone either. And then I remembered food. We loved to eat together. We loved chocolate, he loved chocolate croissants especially. And so today I'm gonna go out and have a chocolate croissant, and then I'm gonna eat some ice cream, and then I'm gonna have some peanut butter, because those were his three favorite things. And I don't know how I'll feel after that, but that's one thing that we have. We have memories, right? Especially around food, and that's what communion is. When we share food and bread at the table, it is remembering together. We remember through food. And so I encourage you all, if your fathers are not around, to think about your father's favorite food and go ahead and honor your father today by eating that thing that your father loved. That's one way that I can honor my father. on Father's Day. But there's another way that I would have said to the really little ones to make them feel better about my father being gone. And that is, I have all kinds of fathers right here in this church community. Now, none of them want to know that I think of them as my father. I'm sure they would prefer that I think of them, you know, but I do, many of you, and I won't name names, but it's really wonderful. That's what a church does for one another. We fill the voids of our family life by loving one another. We're sisters to one another, we're mothers to one another, we're fathers to one another. And so for that we are truly grateful, and all the people said, amen. Please join me in the unison prayer of wholeness and healing as printed in your bulletin. In sadness, in grief of the past week's events, we come to you searching, O God. In sadness, with broken hearts, we look to you. Forgive us when we turn a blind eye in our hearts and minds to life lost, when we turn instead to things more frivolous, to matters that don't really matter. Help us back to compassion. Help us to receive the burden of a heavy heart so that we might live to relieve the burden for those who suffer most. In loving, we find you, our Prince of Peace, who brings calm after the storm and heals our wounds. Amen. We continue now in silence. Good and gracious God, you come to us in times of grief. You bring us grace that helps us to breathe deeply in the life that you give us. That grace comes to us freely, most unearned, unmerited. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.
So I have invited Jim, who's just hiding his talent as a piano player. Thank you. And it came out one day, and he doesn't realize it, but now he's doomed, because now he's just part of the musical family. This song is grief. And this week came on the heels of the memorial service for the Gettler family, and it was truly overwhelming, and sometimes it served as a reminder that all we can do in times of grief is to just simply keep breathing.
People are dying.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dennis. So I had a really good time Friday night. Cole and Mickey invited me to a club in Sausalito. And many of you know I don't get out much, so it was really fun. I had a really nice time. They invited me up to sing a song, and I chickened out. I know that's hard for you to imagine me chickening out. But I did. But it was really a pleasure to be there. I smiled, watched people dance, watched you two share your talents, and was able to share their anniversary. So for that, I'm grateful. Please join me in prayer. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So each week in preparing to write a sermon, I pray to God that I can get myself out of the way so that God can use me to bring the word to honor the intentions of Jesus Christ in whom I live and in whom we all live as Christians. But this week, I have to say, it was really difficult. I had to pray that prayer multiple times because I hold very strong beliefs around what I think is right and wrong. Ways to think about the state of our country, Islam, Muslim Americans, gun control, the gay community, the separation of church and state, just to name a few. I listen to the news and I get hangry. I read the editorials and I become incensed. So getting myself out of the way is no small task. My job is to bring you a teaching, a meditation, as I understand the relationship between Jesus Christ, the biblical texts, the Christian religion, and our world. And my challenge is to hold those issues while bringing you an interpretation of the word that I think speaks to those issues. But the bigger challenge this week was the layers of issues. I couldn't possibly speak to one without speaking to all of them. And I tried, and the longer I tried, the more difficult it was to get my bias out of the way. But if you'd like to have me over for dinner, or go to coffee, or ask me what I think, I'll tell you. And if you like a good debate, I'll have it. But only if you can assure me that at the end of the day, that you can promise, as I've promised, to love one another. Because we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and perhaps even more importantly, we are children of God's, with children all over the world who come from different races, different religions, religion whose God is one of love and peace and coexistence, with an eye for what unites us. And what unites us as children of God's is far greater than what divides us. And when we allow our politics to divide us, we lose sight of a far greater meaning. We separate ourselves from one another, and we separate ourselves from a God whose entire message lives in the idea of unity, of bringing the other in. The outcast, the oppressed, the immigrant, the abused, the sick, the hungry, even the oppressor themselves is brought into the fold by unity of an all-loving God in Christ over and over again. So when you are listening to the issues of the world, ask yourself where the principles of your ultimate belief in God are based. Are you thinking in terms of unity and peace? We are not at peace. And in the words of Mother Teresa's, it's because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. When the events in Orlando occurred, I was consumed with compassion, which, if you remember from a few weeks back, I defined it. It means to suffer with. To suffer with. And at times, that's just all too much. Now, each of us are affected differently because we grieve differently. I feel things dramatically, not because I'm playing a role, but because as far back as I can remember, this is who I am. My mother likes to remind me that at 17, after seeing Sophie's Choice, I couldn't leave the movie theater for a half an hour. And then I continued to cry at home for hours after that. And this week, because I'm a parent, I took the time to imagine being the parent, waiting to see if your two-year-old is alive after an alligator has snatched your baby. I took the time in prayer to ask what it felt like to be a person in a bar toasting with a glass of wine one moment, and then watching your best friend, your lover, your spouse fall to the ground the next, while people screamed over the sounds of gunshots. That's where I go when I hear the news, and sometimes further still to ask God, what kind of world do we live in where hate pervades and guns are given to anyone, and I find myself blaming an all-loving God for giving us free will, because that free will allows evil to take down the innocent. And like the psalmist, I cry, how long, O God, how long? Now, I know that a lot of you are not going there, but that doesn't make your compassion any less worthy than mine. It just makes it less dramatic. But I hope, what I pray for, is that we will all allow ourselves to go there just long enough that your heart becomes heavy with a burden. Heavy enough that we are brought to prayer, perhaps even to our knees in prayer, to allow yourself a depth of compassion. Because that's what's needed to love. Because it's only when our hearts are heavy with burden that we are called into relieving that burden by loving others. That's the kind of love that Jesus Christ lived time and time again. We have to allow ourselves those moments to go deeply into compassion for others, apart from the politics, even when it hurts, especially when it hurts, so that we can turn to love ever more deeply. Compassion and love live in direct relationship. But fear inhibits compassion. When we turn to fear, we become numb to the suffering of others because we turn to self-preservation, which all too often leads to the search for political dominion. And we get caught up in the distraction, and when the next tragedy strikes, we seem surprised, as if we were not complicit in our inability to value life and unity and God. We can't do that by protecting some false sense of security about our rights to guns, as if there was no common sense behind keeping them out of the hands of those people who are sick. We value life by following the teachings of Christ into peace through love, which begins with compassion. There's a story gone viral on Facebook about a little boy, I think he was 10 years old, who was on the bus with his mother, and he looked to a man sitting next to him and asked, "Do you like girls or boys?" And the man said, "Well, I like all people, but one day I hope to marry a man." And the little boy responded by saying, "I'm sorry you had to see that bad thing happen." And then the little boy asked if he could hug him. And the man said, "Only if it's okay with your parent." And the little boy hugged the man who received it, saying it was, hands down, the best, most loving, most caring hug he had ever received, restoring his faith in the world. We are members of a Presbyterian church. Now, I'm fully aware that that means less and less as people come to church not knowing what it means to be Protestant, Reformed, or Presbyterian. But the Presbyterian Church USA is our denomination, and they put out a statement this week in response to the week's events in Orlando. I'm going to read it for you because I think it's so good. "We join our heavy hearts with the great multitude of those who mourn the killing and maiming of so many of our brothers and sisters at the Pulse Club in Orlando, Florida. As people of the Reformed tradition, we are not naive about the reality of evil in the world in which we live, or the capacity within us all to choose evil over good. Nor can we doubt the profound capacity to accomplish such evil deeds in a society overrun with weapons designed to kill. Even so, it is shocking when that evil is manifest in such a horrendous way. We applaud the courage of those touched by these killings who, even in their grief, have joined together to declare their intention to stand firm against all the forces in the nation and the world who wish them harm. It's okay. We pledge our support to them and promise to work with them as we seek to quell all the forces in our society that divide us. It would be naive to ignore the implications of this brutal attack for the LGBTQ community as a whole. Likewise, we would be remiss if we did not also acknowledge the fact that the attack in Orlando primarily impacted people of color, particularly the Latinx community. This provides a painful reminder that experiences of oppression are shaped by multiple social identities and lived experiences. Facing this evil, we affirm the commitment of our own General Assembly to oppose all efforts to demean or exclude those in our society and our churches whose sexual orientation has made them targets of abuse and hatred. And in that regard, we stand with our friends in the Muslim community, knowing that there are those who continue to stereotype all persons of the Muslim faith or identity, and who will characterize the attack as further evidence of the danger posed by such persons within our midst. We also stand with immigrants and oppose any effort to turn this tragedy into a cynical opportunity to demonize people who seek freedom of movement. As we share our grief for those lost and those scared by this violence, let us renew our own mandate from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to choose love over hate in our relationships and to seek the peace of the city in the living out of our faith. Grade Parsons, stated clerk of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, of which you and I are members. The Prince of Peace, who came upon a midnight clear, calls us into compassion. The Prince of Peace, who comes again and again to bring a calm after the storm. Prince of Peace, who comes to bring the ability to breathe in times of deep grief. Prince of Peace, who leads us on a peace train, informing the world of how it could be, how it should be. Prince of Peace, to whom we pray when we have no answers, when we can no longer make sense of a world where evil exists. Prince of Peace, our Savior, who saves us from ourselves, who finds us alone in darkness when we are sure God has left us. We find light, and in the ability to take the next step, the ability to relieve the burden of our heavy hearts by remembering to love others. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. Amen. We come now bringing our prayers in front of one another as witnesses and before Jesus Christ and God. So if you have a prayer of a joy or a concern, please lift it up loud and I will repeat it if we can't hear you. Janet.
I have a double whammy.
Good, double whammies are good. Yes, and you promised me I could bartend.
Well, you can't eat there, it's pizza and beer.
But I can bartend. I can bartend. All right. Well, prayers for both whammies. Congratulations. It's really good news. Yes, John. Prayers for Roy, your brother, who is diagnosed with lung cancer, and we await diagnosis and treatment recommendations and surgery. Okay, prayers. Yes, Ginger. Prayers that she feels God as God watches over her, yes, and knows that she's not alone. So, yeah, good, yes. Well, I have a whole list. to continue prayers for the Gettler family, relatives go, and sometimes grief and mourning takes on a whole new level. Mary Dill's sister, Diane Connor's niece, Cameron and George. Prayers for Dick. Mary, we're so glad that you're here. Prayers for Dick as he continues to make adjustments to his lifestyle. I'm so grateful personally for our time together on Friday. You've never seen two more positive, grateful people than Mary and Dick. It was truly lovely. Prayers continued for Lois Goodall. And prayers of gratitude that Harriet is back two Sundays in a row, and how missed we were, that you were, by all of us. Rosalie, you weren't here, but I gave prayers of gratitude last Sunday for being with you and Ray on his 96th birthday, so. Good. That's good. That's a good reason. Any others? Yes, Cole. Prayers for Mickey's sister and as they go through the challenges of marriage. And there's, yes, Ted. For 68 years, congratulations and prayers of thanksgiving, yes. Okay. I think Ben is giving me the signal, is that right? Or did. Oh, you were clapping for 68 years. Okay, good. Yes.
Double dip.
Double dip. Away. It's good.
This is prayers of gratitude.
He's tearing up saying that he's celebrated a year. That's beautiful. So thank you. You're an inspiration. Thank you. All right. Well, please join me together responding to Lord in your mercy or Lord in your grace with Lord, hear our prayer. Holy God, we offer these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for you to hear our prayer. We pray for this church that this Father's Day Sunday, we give you thanks for the fathers in our lives who protected, encouraged, pushed, and provided. Lord, in your grace. We pray for the world that whenever trials befall us, our leaders will choose compassion and love over fear. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are suffering today, victims of natural disasters and victims of hate, families who are suffering the precious lives lost in Orlando, victims of violence and of hatred. We pray for those who are oppressed and in pain. Help those families and friends to find the grace of a merciful God. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick of this parish and those mentioned out loud this morning and those unmentioned but carried quietly in the privacy of our hearts, those suffering addiction and depression. We pray that you bring healing and love and comfort. Lord, in your mercy. And we give you thanks and pray for those celebrating this week, births and anniversaries and birthdays, fathers and those who act as fathers in only the best of ways, in celebration of the love and life you give to us in all stages of life, we lift up our eye and voices to you, Lord, in your grace. And we pray for those who have died, our friends and spouses, parents, grandparents, and children, the ones we miss. We pray that you draw them near to you, and we give thanks for the gifts that they continue to be in resurrected life. We give you thanks for Dick, for Rosemary, for Chris, for Patrick, for Bob and Mary, and for Daniel. Lord, in your grace. And we give you thanks finally for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we offer these prayers in the name of the most compassionate one who taught us to pray, our Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Amen. Please rise and join in the a cappella version of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Christ, all people here below. Praise Holy Spirit evermore. Praise Triune God, whom we adore. Amen. Gracious God, we offer you these gifts. Help us to remember the burden of a heavy heart so that these gifts may be used to relieve the burdens of others. Amen. Please stay standing as we join in our closing hymn. Peace. I got peace like a river, and it's certainly our hope and a reminder that even though our world may not be in peace, we have Jesus Christ, we have the ability to breathe, and we have the prayer for the Prince of Peace to come to us so that we have peace like a river. Like a river, I got peace, like a river. I got peace, like a river in my soul. I got peace, like a river. I got peace, like a river. I got peace, like a river in my soul. Joy like a fountain. Got joy like a fountain, I got joy like a fountain, I got joy like a fountain in my soul. I got joy like a fountain, I got joy like a fountain, I got joy like a fountain in love for my Savior. I got love for my Savior. I got love for my Savior. I got love for my Savior in my soul. I got love for my Savior. I got love for my Savior. I got love for my Savior in my soul. One more time, love for my Savior. Love for my Savior, I got. Love for my Savior, I got. Love for my Savior in my soul. I got love for my Savior, I got. Love for my Savior, I got. Love for my Savior in my soul. Amen. Please receive the blessing. Now, as you leave this place full of peace, help us to remember that Jesus Christ is with you. Feel his blessing as the calm in the storm, as the breath of life, and the everlasting Prince of Peace be with you all. Amen.